discusses the aspect of the booty, the male ghanima, the spoils of the war, and how it should be distributed, the various categories and recipients that who will receive a certain portion. Thereafter, the next verses, Allah on the first page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala depicts the battle of the battle of Badr, which is also known as the battle of Furqan, the decisive battle between haqq and batil, between truth and falsehood. And actually, the Abu Sufyan, who at that time was not a Muslim, was going with the trade caravan towards Sham and returning. So it was the intention of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba to intercept the trade caravan of Abu Sufyan. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had other plans, and gradually He drew them into a battle. And there also the conditions were explained. For example, the 313 Sahaba radiallahu anhum against a mighty thousand. 313 ill-equipped and 1,000 mighty strong force. Similarly, with regards to the initial stages of the battle, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum were on a ground which was very, very slopy, which had loose sand. And they had no access to water. And the kuffar had a smooth terrain and they had access to water. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed the conditions, and you know what was the outcome of the battle. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the Muslims a clear and apparent a dominant victory over the kuffar, where 70 of the kuffar also were taken as prisoners and 70 of the kuffar were killed. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions ayat of the Quran Kareem on the next page, يَا أَيُّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا لَقِيتُمْ فِئَةً فَاثْبُتُوا وَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. That, O people of Iman, that when you are in locked in mortal combat, in other words, when you are facing the enemy in battle, then what should you do? فَاثْبُتُوا. First, you should remain steadfast. Do not turn on your heels. This is an injunction, and jihad is something very, very important. To flee away from the battlefield is a major sin. So remain steadfast and seek the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how is it? وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala excessively so that you can become successful. Like it was mentioned one hadith before the dhikr, where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, أَيُّ مُجَاهِدٍ أَظَمُ which mujahid, that person who is fighting in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that أَظَمُ ثَوَابًا, who gains the most thawab. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that mujahid makes the most amount of dhikr. And this dhikr, respective brothers, it boosts a person, it fortifies the heart of a person, and it keeps a person's feet steadfast. Is mentioned of Mala Rashid Ahmad Gangoi Rahmatullah Ali when they were under the British India, and they had weapons with them, and the British, they wanted to arrest Mala Rashid Ahmad Gangoi Rahmatullah Ali, and he asked him that, have you got weapons? Now here, he didn't want to speak a lie. If he had to speak the truth, then he will be arrested. Similarly, they will also take and confiscate all the weapons. So at that moment, he had a tasbih in his hand. And he told that, this is my weapon. And he was not speaking a lie, because one subhanallah, alhamdulillah, tamla'u ma bayna samawati wal ard. It fills the heavens and the earth. One Allahu Akbar, Allah is the greatest. We know that incident of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when that person came with the sword before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, may yamna'uka minni, who will save you from me? What did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? Allah. And he said, Allah, with full conviction and yaqeen, and the sword fell from his hand. So this great, this nara takbir, calling out Allahu Akbar, and fighting in a battle, this helps a person also, and this is also a means of gaining success. Also, that when a person is traveling, we know when a person is ascending, then he should recite Allahu Akbar. Descending, then recite Subhanallah. So on, whilst the mujahideen are going, either on horseback, whilst walking, they'll go upon certain places where there's an incline or decline. Here also they can make the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter Allah mentions in the next verse, وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ, that obey Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا, and do not engage in mutual discussions with regards to altercations and arguments, etc. Why, what will happen? فَتَفْشَلُوا وَتَذْهَبَ رِيْهُكُمْ You will lose courage and your strength will disappear. And so Nabi Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاصْبِرُوا That remains steadfast. And Allah is with those who have patience. So this is something very, very important for unity of the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This infighting, arguments, altercations, and picking on another, this causes morally and spiritually that we go down, that a person loses courage, his strength goes away, he does not realize that. But rather, for the sake of unity, if a person rather keep quiet, make sabr, and Allah is with those who make sabr. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions with regards to jihad, etc. Allah mentions a very important verse, وَأَعِدُّ لَهُمْ مَسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ قُوَّةِ That prepare yourselves accordingly how much you can of with regards to your strength. Whatever you can muster of your strength, then do so. Because this is something very, very important. In the times of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, obviously they were involved in archery with the spears, etc. But in today's modern day warfare, there the Quran verse will apply. For example, gather ammunition with regards to military equipment, weapons, and fight. A person also very important to be stay fit and have the necessary fighting skills, techniques, etc. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, "Al-mu'minul qawi khayrun min al-mu'min da'if." Many interpretations is given, but one interpretation is that a strong believer is better than a weak person. In other words, the person shouldn't fear jihad, and he should be strong, he should be prepared for it, and make necessary arrangements. So in today's times, that the person should have guns, rocket launchers, grenades, tanks, etc. But unfortunately, we will find so many Muslim countries who manufacture arms, and they even give it to non-Muslim countries at a meager cost. And these very people use the same very weapons against our fellow Muslim brothers and sisters. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it very clear that prepare accordingly, according to your strength, and so that you can muster courage against the kuffar. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions with regards to Surah At-Tawbah, and we will find that those who open the Quran al-Kareem, you will find there's no Bismillah written over here. So the explanation can be given is that when Jibreel alayhi salam wrote down the surah, it was revealed in this manner that no Bismillah was mentioned. Also, Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam used to order the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with regards to the arrangement of the surahs, the ayats, etc. And yeah, no Bismillah was added. So another reason could be given is that the subject matter of Surah At-Tawbah is the same of that of Surah Al-Anfal. In other words, it could be regarded as the same surah. And what the masla is, if for example a person opens the Quran al-Kareem and he starts reading from Bara'atum min Allah, then he will read A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitani Rajeem, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. But if he has to recite, for example, from the beginning of the para and continuing recitation, he comes to the end of the surah, of Surah Al-Anfal, then he will not recite Bismillah, but merely he will read Bara'atum min Allah wa Rasulihi. Carry on. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions another verse of the Quran al-Kareem with regards to those people who make abad of the masjid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا يَعْمُرُ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ That those people who tend to the masjid, who those who bring iman in Allah, and on the last day, and they establish salah, they give the zakah, and they not fear anyone besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here two meanings could be given. One is that person who makes abad of the masjid, that person who comes to spend most of his time in the masjid, tilawat of the Quran al-Kareem, zikr, ta'aleem, various that programs that take place. And this also is an inheritance of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is one meaning. The second meaning is that a person, he takes maintenance, he takes care of the masajid. For example, he sees to the affairs of the masjid, everything is in order, the water, the lights, etc. Everything is functioning very, very smoothly, the cleaning of the masjid, etc., the nitty-gritty things. So this also falls under the purview of this ayat. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, when you see a person who is attached to the masjid, then give testimony that this person got iman. That this Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that this is a genuine and pakka Muslim, that he is the one who is attached to the masjid. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions ayat of the Quran al-Kareem, and each person should do some introspection and see whether all these things are beloved to him, then Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that kul in kana abaukum, that say that if your fathers, wa abnaukum, and your children, your sons, wa ikhwanukum, and your brothers, wa azwajukum, and your wives, wa ashiratukum, and your relatives, wa amwalun iktaraftumuha, and the wealth that you have earned, wa tijaratun takshawna kasadaha, and that tijara, that business you fear will diminish, wa masakinu tardawnaha, and or lastly, that dwellings, that house that you reside in and you love, أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهُ رَسُولِي وَجِهَادٍ فِي سَبِيلِي فَتَرَبَّصُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِي. If these things are more beloved to you than Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and fighting in his path, then in wait for the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to pass. So yeah, it is a great warning that a person should look into his life and find out whether these things are more beloved to him than Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in one hadith that if Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that it is beloved to him more than anything else, then this a person will taste the sweetness of Iman. A person will get the halawat of Iman if Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is more beloved to him than anything else. And this love, respected brothers, we are talking with the natural love. The natural love within one's control. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned so many ahadeen, la yu'minu ahadukum, that you will not be a perfect mu'min until unless I become more beloved to you than your children, your parents, and the entire Muslim population. So this love of Allah is something very important, the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it should not be on only lip service, but with regards to actions as well, that al-muhib liman yuhib muti, that person who loves the beloved, then obviously he will follow and make ita'at and obey such a person. In the next couple of verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions and depicts the scenario of the battle of Hunain. Allah mentions, لَقَدْ نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ فِي مَوَاتِنَا كَثِيرَةٍ, that Allah has assisted you on many fronts, on many battles. وَيَوْمَ حُنَيْنِ إِذْ أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ كَثَّرَتُكُمْ فَلَمْ تُغْنِ عَنْكُمْ شَيْئًا وَضَاقَتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْأَرْضُ بِمَا رَحُبَتْ ثُمَّ وَلَّيْتُمُ الْبِرِينَ. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes that what had happened to you on the battle of Hunain, when your numbers gave you some, pleased you very much, it brought ujub into you. فَلَمْ تُغْنِ عَنْكُمْ, and this did not benefit you in any way. And in fact, the earth became very constrained, very narrow for you in spite of its vastness, and you turn on your heels. So yeah, it is mentioned after Fatih Makkah had taken place, and the people of the Hawazin tribe, the Banu Thaqif from Taif, they gathered the resources together in order to attack the Muslim. And these people were masters when it came to archery of bows and arrows. And when the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, it is mentioned, they numbered about 14,000. And the Kuffar only 4,000. And then when they started looking at their numbers, that we are something, we are great force, we will be dominant over this people. So Allah did not like this. One is a person has takabbur, pride, that ghamtun nas wa batul haq, he looks down upon people and he rejects the truth. Allah hates that. Another type of pride is what we call ujab, that a person doesn't look down upon people, but he feels that I am something. So yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not like this sifat, this quality. And what happened is when the kuffar started showering arrows against the Muslims, they went helter-skelter in all directions. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, accompanied by Abu Bakr, Umar, Ali, and Abbas radiallahu anhu, and he said, what is wrong, O Sahaba radiallahu anhu? I am Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I am the son of Abdul Muttalim. And he told Abu Abbas radiallahu anhu, go tell the Sahaba, come towards the Nabi. And then when they came, they started, now they gathered the momentum and all the resources. And when that happened, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted victory to the Muslims. So initially they suffered a temporary defeat, but when their hearts were fortifying and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made them understand, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assisted them. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions with regards to those people who hoard wealth. that وَالَّذِينَ يَقْنِزُونَ الذَّهَبَ وَالْفِضَّةَ, that those people who hoard gold and silver and they do not spend of it. In other words, they do not discharge the rights of that gold and silver with regards to zakat. Then Allah says, مَقِنِي فَبَشِّرْهُمْ بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ, give them glad tidings of a very painful azab. What will happen to them? يَوْمَ يُحْمَى عَلِيَ فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمْ, that this all as well, this gold and silver will be burning in Jahannam. It will be يُحْمَى عَلِيَ فِي نَارِ, heated in Jahannam. Then فَتُقْوَى بِهَا جِبَاهُهُمْ, then it will be placed on their foreheads and it will be placed on their sides and on their backs. هَذَا مَا كَنَسْتُمْ لِأَنفُسِكُمْ فَذُوقُوا مَا كُنْتُمْ تَقْنِزُونَ. Allah says that it will be said to them that this is the wealth you managed to hoard and gather, and now taste the consequences of this. And why is these three parts are mentioned? Why? Because when a person asks for his right, zakat in fact is another person's right. He and the person who is discharging the zakat, it is a farz upon him. And a person should also realize that this zakat is only 2.5%. 97.5% Allah has allowed us to keep. And we are just merely transferring our account from this account towards the account of the akhirah. In that 2.5% we are discharging, we might be sponsoring a student, we might be sponsoring a poor person, and that person becomes a qari or a mufti or a hafiz. So whatever actions he does, you will get the sawab. So nevertheless, it's very, very important to understand. So why these three parts are mentioned? That when a person asks for his zakat, then the person frowns. Or when a person comes for collection, for chanda, then a person frowns. Then what does he do? He turns on his side. So yeah, his sides are mentioned. And then he turns his back completely. That is why the back is mentioned. So it is very, very important that a person with a smile, wholeheartedly discharge the zakat and do not consider na'uzu billah as a burden and think it is a tax. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions with regards to the battle of Tabuk. Yeah, initially the battle of Badr was mentioned, then battle of Hunain, and from the half hour right till the end, in fact right till the first quarter of 11, that the entire scenario with regards to the battle of Tabuk. Yeah, it is mentioned that when the Romans had now gathered forces around the Syrian border, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got wind of it, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at that time now made tashkil of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum that come and fight these people. And it is mentioned about 30,000 people marched towards Tabuk. But it was not a very easy time. It was very, very hot. And it was the time of harvesting their crops, especially the dates. So now it was a great test for the believers. And there were five groups Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions very briefly with regards to the battle of Tabuk. Those who are genuine and sincere Muslims, and they hearken to the call of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They responded that whenever Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them to come, and they were prepared, they brought their wealth, etc. That was the first group. The second group were those mu'min who were first hesitant. They were doubting whether to go or not to go. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put it in their hearts, and they were convinced that what they are doing is that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is calling us, we have to respond. So they also went. Then they got the third group of people who were excused, who were on valid grounds because they were weak, old, etc. So these people were excused. Then the next two groups Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in great detail. One group are those of the hypocrites. Those munafiqeen that ya'tadhiruna ilaykum idha raja'tum ilayhim. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is told that when you return from Tabuk, then these people put forth all types of excuses. Do not accept the excuse and do not believe them. They are the munafiqeen. They are the hypocrites. And they will come and tell Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if only I had this, if I only had this, and if I would death, I had the opportunity, I would join y'all. And they will mention so many excuses, but these are the munafiqeen. Then the fifth group, respected brothers, are those 10 Sahaba radiallahu anhum. who stayed behind. Seven of them, it will be mentioned tomorrow, inshallah, that how they tied themselves around a pillar in Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah forgave them. And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions those three of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, because of laziness, because of lethargy, they did not go in the path of Allah and fight in the battle of Tabuk. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions also in the 11th para in great detail what was their end result and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had forgiven them. So this was a very severe test for the believers, where Allah, the munafiqin used to say that the la tanfiru fil har, that do not go, it is extremely hot. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Kul naru jahannam ashaddu harra," that the fire of Jahannam is even more severe, more hotter than the heat of going towards Tabuk. So these were great tests for the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So nevertheless, even though there was no battle that took place, but there were great lessons to be learned from this. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the ayat of the Quran al-Kareem with regards to the when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhum, إِذْ أَخْرَجَهُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, when the kuffar had expelled Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Hijrah, فَمَكَّةِ الْمُكَرَّمَةُ الْمَدِينَةُ الْمُنَوَّرَةُ ثَانِيَ اثْنَيْنِ إِذْ هُمَا فِي الْغَارِ, the second of the two when both of them were in the غار الثور, إِذْ يَقُولُ لِصَاحِبِهِ لَا تَحْزَنْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَنَا, that when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told his companion that la tahzan inna Allah ma'ana, what had happened was when he came to the cave, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu went in, he cleaned it and all the holes that were over there, he took his material, he cut into the pieces and he covered all the holes, and he did not have sufficient material to cover one hole. And then he goes into the cave and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sleeps on his thigh, and he covers that one hole with his feet, with his heel, and then a scorpion stings him. And then he could not tolerate the pain, but he did not make ooh and ah. Tears started rolling down from the eyes of Abu Bakr. And this came onto the face of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam awoke and he asked Abu Bakr, what is this? And he explained to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took his mubarak saliva, placed it over there, and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu got healed. So nevertheless, in the whilst with them, the kuffar obviously went in search of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They came right to the mouth of the cave, but they saw that a spider already spun his web. And imagine Allah can use a spider, that the house of a spider, inna ahwanul buyut, the most weakest of homes is the spider web. But Allah used it to protect Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are right here at the cave, the mouth of the cave. If only after they have to look down, they will find us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Abu Bakr, that la tahzan inna Allah ma'ana, do not grieve, do not worry, Allah is with us. And what does Allah do? That He sent down His sakina, His present tranquility. فَأَنزَلَ اللَّهُ سَكِينَةَ عَلَيْهِ وَأَيَّدَهُ بِجُنُودٍ لَمْ تَرَوْهَا وَجَعَلَ كَلِمَةَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا سُفْلَى. Ya Allah mentioned sakina in the battle of Hunain. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the sakina. So ya Hazrat Hakim Sahib rahmatullah explains a very beautiful point. And here we learn lessons from that. Sometimes, like he mentioned one shayar, I do not know it, is in Urdu, that sometimes a person is engulfed in huge waves like tsunamis or like storms, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put such peace in a person's heart as if though he's on the shore. On the contrary, a person is on the shore but is engulfed with all the storms, etc. Many because of a person's gunas. Sometimes you see a person, for example, Hakim Akhtar Sahib gives an example. You see a person, he's got an aircon on, he's in a room, everything's, the amenities of luxury over there. But because of his involvement in sin, that outwardly he looks very, very nice, looks very calm. But what is happening in his heart is something else. Like another example can be given, a kafir that is buried. And you see, on top is a beautiful tomb, and there are wreath of flowers, inscriptions on the tomb, etc. A person will think how nice it is, but what is happening inside is something else. So many, when a person commits gunas, then the first zone where that problem comes about, that tsunamis, that the cyclones, and those things, that worry that comes is in the heart. that that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي, that whoever turns away from my dhikr and remembrance and from my ibadat, then he will get a very constrained life. And this is because of gunas. So this gunas is our enemy. And when else a person, he may be in such a situation, like Abu Bakr Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ghari Sawr, and surrounded by the enemies, but Allah at that moment put sakina in their hearts, tranquility in their hearts. هُوَ الَّذِي أَنزَلَ السَّكِينَةَ فِي قُلُوبِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah is the one who puts sakina and tranquility in the hearts of the believers. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, and we'll terminate on this ayat of the Quran al-Kareem, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that among such people who make a pledge, that man ahada Allah lain atana min fadlihi lanasaddaqan, that they make the pledge that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to grant them wealth, then they will spend on the part of Allah and become of the righteous. He was one person, but he was a munafiq by the name of Talab bin Hatib. And he came to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he told Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, make dua Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants me wealth. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him that, O Thalaba, a little wealth and being grateful for having that wealth is better than abundance which you cannot handle and you are not able to fulfill the rights of the wealth. Like it was mentioned after Asr Salah, the live wooden one's means. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, نَيْسَ الْغِنَىٰ عَنْ كَثْرَةِ الْأَرْضِ وَلَكِنَ الْغِنَىٰ غِنَىٰ النَّاسِ, that ghina, that wealth is not accumulation of wealth, that a person has so much of wealth or properties, but the real wealth is contentment of the heart. So nevertheless, the Sahaba insisted, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua for him, and this person, Allah gave him goats, camels, etc. But so much he could not now handle it. He had to go to the outskirts of Madinatul Munawwara, and there too now he started only reading his Zuhar Salah and Asr Salah. Now, because of so much of more animals came, he had to go extend even further. And now he could come for Jummah Salam. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked, where is Thalaba? And thereafter, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was told, this is his predicament. Then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, wayha Thalaba, that alas, how sad, what is your condition, O Thalaba? Thereafter, when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent the people to get zakat, and then when he came to him, and now he started making excuses that this, na'uzubillah, it is a jizya, it is a tax, and it's unfair. Let me think about it, I'll give you. And thereafter, when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him to not accept his zakat. And when he was informed that wahi was sent, that zakat shouldn't be accepted from him, he comes to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and now presents the animals. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I cannot accept it. When Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, in the time of Abu Bakr, he presented it. Abu Bakr said, if Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam rejected it, how can I accept it? Same in the time of Umar and Usman radiallahu anhu. And unfortunately, this person passed away in that condition. So this great lesson we learn from this is that to have little wealth and to make shukr is better than that wealth which you accumulate and you cannot fulfill the rights of that wealth. Allah give us the tawfiq, inshallah.